Thank you for your introduction, and thank you all for being here. In this talk, I will talk about low-rank matrix completion, a geometric approach, and the corresponding performance guarantees. This work is a joint work with Ali Kerman and Olgita Milenkovic. Both co-authors are from UUC. In the introduction part, I will discuss what is missing for low-rank matrix completion. Once we figure out what is missing, we would like to fill the gap. However, the natural approach does not work at all. To address this problem, we propose a new norm, a geometric norm, and based on this geometric norm, we are able to obtain some strong performance guarantees. Now, what is missing for low-rank matrix completion? Let's start with compress sensing. Compress sensing is a technology that handles sparse signals. A signal X is said to be k-sparse if there are only k non-zeros in X, and then we perform linear measurement y equal to phi X. The reconstruction problem is to reconstruct X based on our measurement vector y. The naive approach for compress sensing is to do L0 search, or exhaustive search. Basically, we try all possible locations for non-zeros. But as we know that the complexity is huge, so L0 search is not practical. To reduce the complexity, we can use L1 minimization of greedy algorithms. Low-rank matrix completion is also a technique that handles sparse signals. Now, the signal is a matrix, and the sparsity is in the eigenspace. Let X be a M by N matrix. Let's consider its singular value decomposition. X equal to U times S times V transpose. Here, S is a diagonal matrix containing singular values. We say X has rank R if and only if there are exactly R many singular values, non-zero. Hence, the signal sparsity is in the eigenspace. The low-rank matrix completion, basically, we assume that we do not know the odd entries. We only know some of them. Here, omega is the index set of our observed entries. X omega is the partial observations. We would like to infer the missing entries based on the observed entries and the low-rank structure. So mathematically, we would like to find an estimate x hat such that the rank is at the most r, and we have the data consistency. Because of the similarity between compress sensing and low-rank matrix completion, many methods can be extended. For example, L1, we have L1 minimization. Basically, we replace the L1 norm with the nuclear norm, which is just the L1 norm of the single values. We also can try extend some greedy algorithms for compress sensing to the matrix completion scenario. However, there is one thing missing in this picture. That is L0 search. In compress sensing, basically, we can list all possible locations for non-zeros. We can do exhaustive search, even though the complexity is huge. But here, for a matrix completion problem, as we will show very shortly, we are looking at a continuous space. It doesn't make sense to talk about exhaustive search in a continuous space at all. That means even though we can extend L1 minimization and the greedy algorithm from compress sensing to low-rank matrix completion, we cannot extend L0 search. And L0 search is the main topic of this talk. To define L0 search, we need some definitions. This fancy UMR is a set containing all the matrices, containing exactly R many orthonormal columns. For any given matrix U in this fancy UMR, it can span an R-dimensional subspace. In this picture here, we have two matrices U and U prime from this fancy UMR, and they expand to different subspecies. Now, given a matrix X, suppose all the columns of X lie in the subspace spanned by U, then this span U can be viewed as a column space of X, and the rank of X is exactly R. With this picture, we are able to define L0 search. Basically, for any given matrix U in this fancy UMR, we look at all possible matrices generated from U, and we choose the one that is the most consistent with our partial observations. Then our objective function FFU is defined as the squared Frobisher norm of the difference. The low-rank matrix computation is then equivalent to minimize this objective function until FF equal to zero. Once FF equal to zero, then immediately we know that the corresponding matrix has rank R and it is consistent with our partial observations. In this talk, we'll focus on how to find this global minimizer U star. We will not talk about under which conditions the global minimizer is unique. And here, I would like to answer a fundamental question, why we care about L0 search for matrix completion at the first place, because, you know, in common sensing, L0 search is useless. But here, for matrix completion problem, as we can see, this site, U, fancy UMR, is a continuous space. It is actually a smooth manifold. So we are doing optimization on a smooth manifold. The complexity can be low. Actually, according to our limited experience, L0 search, in most cases, L0 search can be finished in just 20 or 50, or 50 iterations. Here, just a demonstration. I won't explain the details, but here we look at a modified L0 search. And the red line is the performance of the modified L0 search, and the higher the curve is, the better the performance is. As you can see, the modified L0 search is actually beats many methods in the literature. So the key message here is that for matrix completion problem, L0 search might be very good, actually. Okay, however, I just mentioned some advantages of L0 search, but it does not work. Why? Let's look at some example. Recall that the objective function is squared Frobisher norm. It can be written as a sum of many atomic functions, and each atomic function corresponding to one column of our partial observations. All right. In this example, we only look at one column. We suppose that we know the second and the third entry, the first entry is missing. And we assume that we know the rank is one. Therefore, the column space can be represented by a column vector. And we are interested in the column space parameterized by T in this specific form. Note that we have 1, 1 here, we have TT here. As long as T is non-zero, then the objective function equals to zero, we can choose W as 1 over T, right? But if T equals to zero, no matter what W we choose, objective function equals to 2, right? That means the objective function defined in the Frobisher norm is not continuous at T equal to zero. As we all know, in an optimization problem, if the objective function is not continuous, then we are in serious trouble. In most cases, we cannot get any performance guarantees. To address this problem, we propose a geometric objective function to replace the previous Frobisher norm. To define the geometric norm, let's use the previous example again. We look at one column, and we define the subspace B as the subspace spanned by all the vectors, such that the second and the third entries are the same as our partial observation, and we choose the first entry arbitrarily, because we do not know the first entry, so we can choose it arbitrarily. And we look at the subspace spanned by
this set.
For a given column space represented by U, we look at the minimum principal angle between the subspace B and the column space. Here, I won't talk about the detailed definition about principal angle, but basically principal angle just on the angles between two planes. And we only look at the minimum principal angle because this angle equal to zero if and only if these two subspace intersect non-trivially. Now we are able to define the geometric function for each column. We define this geometric function as sine squared. Overall objective function is just a sum of these atomic functions. And the L0 search problem becomes minimize this geometric objective function until Fg equals to zero. This geometric function will give us many nice properties. First, it is continuous. Here we simply draw the contours of the Frobe's norm and the geometric norm. As you can see, the Frobe's norm is discontinuous at the origin, while the geometric norm is continuous everywhere. More importantly, we have the following theorem. The set on the left contains all the column spaces that are geometrically consistent with our partial observations. Here, Fg equal to zero. The set on the right contains all the column spaces that are Frobenius consistent with our partial observations. Here, Ff equal to zero. Our theorem says that because the Frobe's norm is not continuous, this set is not closed. But the left set is the closure of the right set. What does this mean? This means our geometric function can be viewed as the best, smooth version of the Frobe's norm up to a scale. Based on this fact, we are able to obtain some strong performance guarantees for two scenarios. First scenario, our rank one matrices with arbitrary sampling pattern. Second scenario, for sampling matrices with arbitrary rank. For these two scenarios, we are able to prove that if we use a gradient descent method to optimize, to minimize the objective function Fg, then with the probability one, we are able to reach a global minimum. The first point I would like to mention that because you know the object function is not convex, but nevertheless, we are able to prove that there is no either local minimum or set of points. Second, why we say our performance guarantees are very strong because different from standard theory, we do not require incoherence conditions. Our results hold with the probability one and valid for arbitrary matrix size. It does not require the matrix size is sufficiently large. Just very briefly go through the key ideas behind the proof. So let U star be a global minimizer. Here, we may have multiple global minimizers, then we just choose one of them arbitrarily. Because Fg equal to zero, every atomic function should be equals to zero as well. In this picture, the blue line is the solution set for the ith column. The red line is the solution set for the jth column. The global minimizer must lie in the intersection of these two lines. Now, for given randomly chosen column space represented by U0, we compute the gradient respect to every atomic function. We project the negative gradient onto the vector U star minus U0. We are able to prove that this projection is always non-negative. It equals to zero if and only if the atomic function equals to zero already. Note that the overall gradient is the summation of the gradient for every atomic functions if we project the negative overall gradient to the vector u star minus u zero, then we are able to show that this projection is also non-negative. It equals to zero if and only if fg equals to zero, that means u zero is already a global minimizer. So we do not have any local minimum of saddle points. The gradient equal to zero implies we have already reached a global minimizer. In summary, in this talk, the main message is that a zero search can be very good for matrix completion problem. And we propose a geometric objective function to avoid the technical details difficulty for the natural formulation. And based on that, we are able to prove strong performance guarantees for two special cases. We do not require incoherence conditions. Our performance analysis holds with probability 1 and valid for arbitrary matrix size. At the future work, we would like to prove some similar results for the more general case. Thank you for your attention.
Questions? Want to use the microphone?
Actually, I have two questions. First question is, what's the probability model? Because you said it's probability 1. And the second question is regarding your performance guarantees. What happens, for example, if you take only one sample of the matrix?
Okay. So the first question was about the probability models. Basically, we assume that basically we do optimization on the column space. We only assume that at the initial state, we randomly pick a column space uniformly on this compact set, on all possible column space, uniformly distributed at the initial state. After that, we just use optimization method. Second method is, what about we only have one sample, one entry observed from the matrix? As I just mentioned, here we do not talk about the uniqueness of the third solution. So in that case, actually, we have infinite many column space that can fit our observed data. That's why, actually, I didn't mention it before, but that's why you can, if you look at the simulation results here, you can see if the number of samples is very small, actually, we are able to find a column space that match our observation. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I have a question about your space mu mr.
Yeah.
Mu mr consists of the span of certain matrices where the columns are orthogonal, right? Orthogonal matrices. So, is this related to the Grassmannian manifold?
Yeah. I didn't mention Grassmannian manifold here because I only have 20 minutes. So actually, each U will span a column space, and that column space is an element in the Grassmann manifold. And our analysis is done not on UMR, it's actually done on the Grassmann manifold. But I just omit those details.
Oh,
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay, so since it's really about the Grassmannian manifold,
exactly,
the two dimensions is really the project space. And
right.
So you can define your function basically on a circle in two dimensions. Is that
right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was just wondering what the second case you analyzed meant. You said fully.
So
you're observing the entire matrix?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a trivial case. Then.
That's a trivial case, but what is non-trivial is that we use a gradient descent method on the manifold, then we are able to find the correct column space. That part is non-trivial. Of course, in terms of matrix completion, this is, we need to do anything. We need to do nothing because we observe all the entries.
Okay, thank you. I think-